You're listening to How I Met Your Monster, a podcast that explores the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. My name's Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And together we dive into the world of horror to find out how filmmakers have introduced us to our favorite monsters time and time again. This is How I Met Your Monster.
You opened it. We came.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left.
Who are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Demons to some, angels to others.
Call your meatloaf, Jack!
Thank you for joining us on a very special post-day Christmas episode of How I Met Your Monster. We just had Christmas. We just missed the mark. But you can still be in the Christmas spirit, I would say.
Casey's calling cut.
Why?
I think what you meant was post-Christmas day.
What did I say?
Post-day Christmas.
Oh, you post-day did say Christmas? Post-day Christmas? That's so funny. Did I? Yeah, I thought that sounded weird in my head, but I didn't...
You said post-day Christmas.
It's
so confidently.
Post, it's when we get the post. It's when Santa brings the post.
That's right, because the mail
no post on
doesn't come on Christmas.
Yeah.
I was actually like not, I was not cutting. I was wagging my finger at you.
That's what Steven Spielberg calls cut. They'll just be like filming a scene and you have to know to, as the actor, just like look over and you see him waving his finger. It's like, oh, yep. You need to stop.
Oh, what was that? I don't know if this is, you know, people tell stories about films being made all the time and who knows what's actually true and whatnot. But in Wolf of Wall Street, when Leonardo DiCaprio's character meets Matthew McConaughey's character mm-hmm. and he starts doing like that chest thumping thing. Yeah. There's a shot of Leo's character like looking around the restaurant, sort of like kind of side eyeing. And that was him. That was a real life reaction of him looking at Martin Scorsese to be like, what's going on? And apparently cool. Martin Scorsese was like, just keep going, like, go with it, go with it. So that's I thought so that's a fun. If that's a true story, even if it's not, it's still a fun little story.
I like it.
I haven't watched that movie in so long. I didn't even remember that Matthew McConaughey was in it.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, he's just in that one scene.
For but a glimpse.
But a glimpse. Just but long enough to talk about masturbation.
Yeah. Does he? Oh, yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. The importance of masturbation.
Yes.
God, masturbation has been a hot topic lately.
I know.
Did you know that? Did you know that Kellogg's cereal was created to stop people from masturbating?
It worked. I had Kellogg's.
Did you know
cereal
that, Zach? I'm serious.
And I never mid masturbation. I started eating cereal. I was like, what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
And I grabbed that spoon with both hands.
Yeah.
And I never looked back.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are talking on this post-day Christmas episode of How I Met Your Monster.
On Boxing this, Day to the British people.
Yes. Yeah, so we're on this on Boxing Day. We are.
Well, this is also Christmas Day observed is the 26th.
So. Oh. See. Yeah. That's the thing about Jesus' birthday. Oh. You can really celebrate it whenever.
You can. Yeah.
He's like, we're going all night.
That's what God said to Mary.
Oh, my God. She's like, shh. Joseph's asleep. Well, you know, it's funny, though. Speaking of Jesus, there was a musical made about Jesus called Jesus Christ Superstar, which reminds me. And speaking of zombies,
on this Boxing Day, we are celebrating the miracle, if you will, that is Anna and the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I was trying to think of, no, never mind. That would be Easter. I was going to say, what is the connection? Like, what was, then there doesn't need to be one, but what was the motivation or inspiration behind making this a musical about zombies on Christmas? And I was like, He literally comes back from the dead. It's the story of Christ, but this would be the, like, the prequel to Easter. So
yeah.
Christmas is the Revenge of the Sith to Star Wars' Return of the Jedi.
That was confusing.
Danny, you like musicals?
I do.
I love musicals. I love them a lot. In fact, it's probably like the only form of chick flick that I really enjoy, I think, would be a musical. I think they would be I don't know.
What else is considered a chick flick?
I don't like movies about relationships. Okay. I don't like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But if there is a if it's a movie about a relationship and they're singing about it, I love it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I love musicals.
But you did.
I was a big
theater
kid.
I didn't love it. I really liked the first two songs. I thought the first two songs were really good, but then after that, I was just kind of let down.
Okay.
I just didn't care about it. Like, if somebody put it on, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, turn this off. But I probably will never choose to watch it again.
Casey smashed your TV. Danny, right when it started.
Danny's laughing, and I feel he has the same sentiment.
No, I thought it was a really cute, I thought it was very fun. Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun.
He's being so nice.
Oh my God.
It's like an onion, like Shrek would say. There's layers. Like, there's things layers about it that I like, and there's things that I didn't care for as much.
Danny, you were a theater kid?
Yeah, I was a theater kid growing up. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a singer and a dancer. And
I wanted to be a star.
Oh, I wanted to be a star. like Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Oh, yes. That, of course.
She's our patron saint, is she not, of this podcast? Mary Catherine Gallagher, superstar?
Yeah, she is.
I think Molly Shannon in general.
Just her.
I love her.
no, but yeah, I was a theater kid. I loved singing. I loved putting on plays. And sadly, I reached an age when at the, I guess at like the first signs of puberty.
Yep.
I was like, I can't
do
this.
I did the same thing. I used to sing. I was so weird about singing. Like, I used to ask when I was like 9, 10 years old, I used to ask my teachers if I could just sing for everybody while we waited for the bus. So I would just get in front of the class and just sing for people. Like, sing fucking Annie.
The bus is coming.
Annie was my jam when I was young. I loved Annie. And I took voice lessons and stuff like that. And then, once I 12, 13 years old, started hitting puberty, I was like, got super shy. I couldn't sing in front of anybody. I know that I'm still a good singer, but it literally won't come out in front of people.
No.
Like, I could try, and then I would just end up making a joke out of it because I'm an asshole.
You need, like, a system. You need to, like, just scream at the top of your lungs and get your, like, voice, your throat, just, like, used to projecting your voice at that volume. Maybe that would
help. I'll just start screaming before I sing in front
Seriously,
of people.
Seriously,
screaming at them.
Because you're so ever, I feel like we're all used to like kind of talking low. Maybe you just need to, I don't know, one up your throat, as they say in the biz. What you're going to want to do is one up your throat.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that the like emphasis is on the right words in that sentence.
One up your throat. Danny, what's your favorite musical?
Oh, that's a great question.
Anna and the Apocalypse.
Well, I know that's yours then.
Yeah, probably Anna and the Apocalypse.
I want to know, honestly.
I will say the ones that I love doing, that I loved performing in. I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as a child. And I loved it so much.
Okay.
All we really did as the kids, we just like sat and we were supposed to be listening to the narrator's story. But I did have the opportunity to once... They were like, Danny, can you play another character? And I was like, that's what I was born to do. So
you're at one point,
one point during the play, I had to sneak out. There were two sides on the stage, and they were like filled with kids. And we would do like the singing and like the background singing. And I snuck out. I had to sneak out without the audience ever seeing me. I went behind stage, and as I was running behind the curtain, they were like dressing me up. as a shepherd, and I had to run around, and then I had to imprison Joseph and like basically buy him and then wheel him off and then run back, and they pulled all the stuff off me and I went back into my seat unnoticed by the audience. That's, it was seamless. Serious? Yeah.
So I love that story. Like, I love that the situation you were put in as that young child, like kind of like the rush of being like, oh my God, like, we gotta hurry, we gotta do this. Mm-hmm. But my question is, why did you have to be sitting down in the first place?
I'm not going to talk myself out of a role. If it's two roles, it's like, two roles.
But like, why couldn't you have just been backstage and dressed as the shepherd?
Oh, I wanted to be out there though, because you literally get to sit out on stage the entire performance. Mm. And I love that. Okay.
I gotcha.
For the love of theater.
I also loved the rush of it too, of like having to sneak off and do this thing and play this other role. I felt, it made me feel very important. Because everyone is so much older than me. And here I had to like be, and the whole point of me, I was supposed to be very theatrical, because I was like this short little like guy in like a beard and like, had all, like it was very funny. So they're like, Danny, really? Like when you walk, like everything has to be exaggerated. I was like, say no more. I got you. And I killed it.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
That's so good. That's good.
Oh yeah, but as far as what my favorite musical is, I'm literally looking at musicals because I can't remember any names of them. Well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of boring, but I really love The Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
It's horror. Of course, it's a classic. I listen to that soundtrack all the time, like especially around Halloween. Like I'll just blast it. Yeah. There's plenty of others, but yeah.
Oh man.
Give me some Phantom.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's a good choice.
The first real incel, right? He like just sits in his the basement and like fawns over women he can't have, and then like shames them for being women. And
women won't sleep with me because they're sluts.
Exactly.
So my first film, right? Musical is a film, would be Moulin Rouge.
Oh, it's so good. Moulin Rouge.
I love Moulin Rouge. It's a masterpiece. And the first time I watched it on TV, and I like missed the first like 10 minutes of it. So spoiler alert for everybody here that hasn't seen Moulin Rouge, that's really dying to.
Speaking of.
Get it? Dying to, too. Anyway, so I missed like the first 10 minutes. So I didn't know that Satine died. Mm. So the whole, you know, you always think that good stuff is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, she's not really going to die. She's just real sick. And then she died.
Do you see her dead at the beginning? And then it goes back.
It's zombie Nicole Kidman first. she eats his brain. And then
he's typing his story and he says, the one I love, Satine, she's dead. So what's your favorite musical, Zach?
My favorite, believe it or not, is Anna and the Apocalypse.
I believe it.
I do like Phantom of the Paradise. That one is really cool. But absolutely, hands down, Anna and the Apocalypse. Which, funny thing, right before we started recording this episode, I was gifted information that there is not one, but two extended cuts of Anna and the Apocalypse.
Well, and good for you.
There is... So I have the Blu-ray, and there's like nothing on it but the movie, basically. And I'm like, what the fuck? Stupid. That sucks. The UK has a 2-disc special edition with all the extended cuts, featurettes, behind the scenes, deleted songs, everything.
Oh.
Bought it right before we hit record.
Good. That's good.
Well, Christmas time for yourself.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
It'll be here in 2 months.
And if we do, if the apocalypse, if the zombie apocalypse does come, you'll have plenty of time to kill with your extended edition of Anna and the Apocalypse.
That's right. Yeah. So the version that we watched is 93 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's an extended version in the UK, which is 98 minutes. And then the festival cut was 108 minututes.
Holy bananas.
Wow. That's it's 10.
Is there anything minutes. I don't know. Is there any juicy biz?
I don't know.
That pops up?
I don't know. The only thing I know for certain was there was an extra song with Anna's dad, Tony, and the principal, Mr. Savage. Okay. That it was like a song with those two, and they cut it because it like kind of took you out of the rest of the story they wanted to focus more on.
Gotcha. The song was called "We're Making a Movie. This is a movie. This is not part of this. It's not real life." Like, this is really taking me out of the movie, you know? I feel like it's...
You know, okay, so, well, I guess we'll get to it, but the principle, that is the one thing that I don't really care for in this movie, because I feel like they needed something else besides the zombies, and so they put this principal character in there, and I remember the first time I watched
it... Like, they wanted a real antagonist.
Yeah. I remember the first time I watched it being like... That like towards the end where he starts becoming like a villain, I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is he being mean?
One character who feels truly pulled out of like a proper musical.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Very over the top.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll get to that. First of all, I haven't heard what you guys have watched for like weeks. So
yeah,
catch me up. Bring me up to speed. Oh, what have you guys seen?
Okay. All right. I watched Terrifier 2, which was just a lot of wholesome fun.
Terrifying.
Sounds nice.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
More like, ridiculous-ish than the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I also saw The Menu, which was very good.
Delicious.
Not delicious. Not at all what I thought it was going to be, but... It was very good.
I didn't know they were all going to turn into werewolves at the end.
Yeah, crazy, right?
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, there was a lot of unexpected. It was very smart. And then I watched, I'm sure I've watched other things, but I watched Bones and All.
Ooh, how was it?
I'm afraid to watch it. Should I be afraid to watch it?
No, it's fine. It's
pretty tame.
Are they like chowing? Is it like chowing down time or is it like
off-screen? Yeah. There's some on screen.
Okay.
But it was pretty good. I mean, it was a love story. I wanted it to be darker, but.
Was it a love story for each other or for human flesh?
Both.
Nice.
I wanted it to be darker, which is funny because, you know, they're fucking cannibals. How much darker can it get, I guess. But.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, have you seen Call Me By Your Name and or the Suspiria remake?
I've seen Suspiria. I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name.
Because that was also Luca Guadagnino. Did you see any like similarities between the two? Like stylistically or anything?
So I watched the Suspiria remake very shortly after it was out. So I don't really remember. I remember some stuff about it. Like I remember the final act, like the main stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't remember the, you know, little intricate like details and stuff I wouldn't have noticed if they were similar. It was beautiful, like, you know, made beautifully. Cinematography was nice, but yeah, it was pretty good. I think that's all I've watched.
I have what people sometimes call a hot take. I think it's a hot take.
It's hot cocoa.
The Suspiria remake is worlds better than the original Suspiria. I know that's going to piss a lot of people off, but...
Well, I would agree, but I also haven't seen the original one in so long. I just remember that I was really bored with the original one. Like, I can appreciate a slow burn, and maybe I don't remember it very well at all, and that's why I think it was boring, but...
Well, the new one's a slow burn,
I know, I would say. But I can appreciate that for the most of the time, but I remember not enjoying it during the first one.
Can I add a hot take to your hot take?
Ooh,
yeah.
Burn and take.
And for the sake of this being a holiday episode, and because this is what Casey is drinking, can we call it a hot cocoa take?
Of course.
Yes.
So my hot cocoa take for this is that... this doesn't even make sense.
Oh, he doesn't like either of them.
No, on one hand, I prefer the remake, but also, and I feel like this is like a sin to horror film lovers everywhere, I've never been able to watch all of the original Suspiria.
There's a reason for that.
Is that because it was boring?
And I get it. Every time I've seen any horror documentary or some great like filmmaker being interviewed talking about why they love Suspiria and why it's so influential, which I totally get and understand. I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I mean, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I wish I could. I've tried okay. multiple times, excited, like forgetting my original experience. But
well, visually, it's stunning.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
It is just very, very cool.
Makes a great wallpaper desktop background.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I had mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago or last week or something. Phantom of the Paradise, which I had mentioned, directed by Brian De Palma, is very similar in style to Suspiria. And it was made like 2 years prior to Suspiria.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, with the colors and the lens choices. And it's but Suspiria is very vibrant.
Yes.
It would be neat to see the remake shot in that style. That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like so unsophisticated or saying this, but like, I don't get it. I feel like every time I watch them, and maybe I need to watch it in a different atmosphere with people, but it's just like,
I'm sure that there are influential and classic horror films that I don't like.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe someday I'll revisit it and it'll just click and I'll be like, oh, this is actually wonderful, but it hasn't.
I think Dario Argento was much better at the giallo movies he made, you know,
okay.
with the killer.
Yeah.
Killer formula with all that. But when he did this, it's like Supernatural is kind of different than his other ones. And it was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. The thing is, it's a great title. Mm-hmm. It's got great visuals and it's got time on its side. And I'm not knocking it. Like
a great soundtrack too.
Which one?
Truly a great soundtrack.
The score for the original Suspiria is amazing.
Because the remake also is, because it's all done by Tom York.
Oh, it's so good. I love that it's so good, but like for a different tone. It's like doing the same job, but like in a different sort of aesthetically different like platform. It's not quite as like iconic. It doesn't have that same iconic theme, I guess. Theme song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it works for what it is, like for that, how different that remake is, it works.
Okay. Danny, what have you seen?
I saw a few things. I saw the little Santa Claus action movie, Violent Night.
Okay. How was that?
Oh my God. I can't remember the last time I was in a movie theater and the audience was so vocal, and it was one of my favorite movies of the year. It's so good. It's so funny. Good. I'm 100% going to watch it again, like every Christmas. But there are so many satisfying moments. And like, I remember the audience just like, because you're thinking like, they're not going to show that, right? But then you're like, wait a minute. No, this movie has told me time and time again, like, this is what we're going to see. This is what we're in for. So then you get these like very visual, like, gross out gag payoffs that are just, it's so fun. I don't want to build it up.
Good.
It is not a perfect movie, but it, for what it is wonderful.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm really fun movie. Highly recommend it. I also rewatched Jordan Peele's Nope. I liked Nope when I saw it. I liked it a lot actually. And I liked it even more when I kind of listened to sort of the discourse that was kind of happening around it. I was like, oh, I get it now. Like there were some things that kind of went over my head, or maybe I didn't quite stitch together super well, but it wasn't my favorite. There were some elements in the third act that I didn't love, and it was more tonal stuff rather than story, but that's, you know, for another conversation. I also rewatched What Lies Beneath, which is kind of like an annual rewatch.
So yeah.
So creepy.
It's so good. It's so fun. And so that is one of those movies that I love watching with someone who has seen it and loves it.
Yeah.
Because everyone is always just like, oh, it is. You can't not comment on like, oh, I love this tone here. Oh, the music is so perfect. Oh, it's so spooky. It's also so over the top.
We actually, Danny, you and me recorded an episode on What Lies Beneath for episode 3, I believe.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure you check that out.
That's in there. Yeah, that's one of our early episodes. So,
okay.
That's what I'm watching.
Awesome. Awesome.
How about you?
I don't think I've watched much horror related because I kind of got Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 came out. Because of that, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 got really cheap. And so I bought it.
That's amazing. We're thinking that you bought the second Call of Duty.
So I've been playing that quite a bit more than watching horror content. But gotcha. But I did start watching The X-Files.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The X-Files before?
So when I was a kid, it came out in 94. So I was 8. And my mom really enjoyed watching the show. I think she watched all the seasons and everything. But I remember like bits and pieces of it. Yeah. But I thought it would be fun to go back and start at the beginning and watch those. I'm only like 3 episodes in, but it's cool so far.
You're into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's something to just like put on and kind of like, if you're paying attention, great. If like sometimes I'll do some work and just put it on and it'll be like there. And you're still getting the drift, but
plus the characters are so part of like embedded in pop culture that you basically know the general idea of the show and like who they are.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's a background show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think The X-Files was really all that I watched.
Okay.
So
other than Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna and the Apocalypse. Guys, I've been waiting to talk about this for so long. So
good, because guess what?
Is it time to meet our monster?
Let's do it.
All right, guys, ready for the song that we wrote? And we're here to sing about the movie. It's called
Anna
and the Apocalypse.
And the Apocalypse.
And it's How I Met Your Monster.
I Met Your Monster.
And the show is about to
start.
And Casey, this is your cue. And the end. Yeah. Here we go.
I do love Kat and Garth, though.
Kat and Garth?
Kat and Garth.
What the fuck? What
Come
is that?
Come on, guys. You don't know what Kat and Garth is?
What is Kat and Garth?
Kat and Garth from Saturday Night Live. Fred Armisen and Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, I remember that.
They would
now.
Do that. They would sing like that.
Just like we did, where it's like one person singing and the other one's like trying to follow along.
That's so funny.
Now I wish I tried to come up with better lyrics.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Anna and the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Zombies?
Yeah.
I don't care about zombies.
Yeah.
I just like the singing.
I feel like, you know who all...
You do? Like- you just like the singing?
Yeah.
Oh, so you like zombies, just not in this context?
I don't care about zombies.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm fine watching a zombie movie. And I used to like them, but then it just got like so played out that I was like, whatever.
Army of the Dead, though.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so much fun.
That was fun.
I'll give it a watch. Is it scary or more action-y? Or?
It's funny.
It's action, like
funny. There's gross stuff in it, but
it's more like action horror. Okay. But a lot of humor. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's very funny.
Right. Yeah. But even like Train to Busan took me years to watch that because I was like, fucking zombies, I don't fucking care. But
yeah,
that movie is so fucking good.
I still haven't seen it.
And this took me a while to watch it because I was like, I don't fucking care about musicals. Yeah. But when I saw it, oh my God, my life changed for the better.
Oh yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love that you love it so much.
I do too.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a true Christmas gift.
Do I say thank you to that?
Whatever.
Zach, take it back.
So first of all, who's your favorite character?
That's a good question.
I know you do, I know you guys didn't like any of the characters, but
no, that's not true.
Who is your favorite?
I liked this movie.
Her friend was cool.
Okay. My favorite characters.
John.
Oh, who was the friend? Yeah, friend John was fun.
Mm-hmm. There was John. The other friend was Chris. Chris and Lisa. They were
a couple. I liked Lisa. I liked her performance. I thought she was funny and bold.
Well, I don't understand. Are they in high school? There were no people in this movie. It was very weird.
What do you mean there were no people? There was lots of people. I don't get it.
They were at a high school and there was nobody there.
There was a whole fucking cafeteria filled with students.
There were like 30 people.
They did a fucking musical number.
They're walking through the halls and there's nobody in the freaking hallway.
So like the halls in high school, the halls are just filled all the time. You don't ever remember walking down a high school hall without people in it. You never had that moment where you and another person are fucking walking down the hall and you start at totally different ends. And so you're like, fuck, I don't know where to fucking look. Do I look at the ground? Do I this? And then right when you pass, you finally like look up and do like a head nod or something. And then you go and it's so fucking weird.
I'm sorry that I was bothered by the atmosphere of the school in this movie.
Okay.
To answer your apology question. Accepted. To answer your question, I liked Lisa. I liked John. And I liked Mr. Savage. I didn't like Mr. Savage, but I liked that he was basically like Scar from The Lion King.
Yeah.
Just so like over the top. Just in a totally different movie. Not caring, just kind of running with it. I didn't understand his motive. Like, I kind of agreed. I guess that's like the definition of like a perfect villain, where you kind of like understand their motive. Like, okay, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, people should look up from their phones a little bit. And but then it's like the thing that differentiates them is they go too far in like the wrong direction. So yeah, that's my top three. I mean, then there's Anna was great. Yeah, John, Lisa, and Savage. That's my top three.
So when we're talking about the monster of this movie, zombies clearly are like they're almost like not even.
They're like an accessory.
They are the monster, but they're just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
And like Mr. Savage. Yeah. Mr. Savage is like supposed to be the monster, right?
Yeah.
Then you have Nick, who is a monster, but throughout the movie, you kind of see why he is. And then you kind of are like,
Nick bothered.
You're me. Fucking that whole shitty, but.
Story arc irritated me.
Did it?
That he became. At one point, I think I wrote down, I was like, wait, is he like being transformed? Nick is the X kind of, not quite
the
X.
The douchebag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like such an asshole. And then all of a sudden, he's like kind of the hero.
Well, see, and that's why
the survivor. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's why I fucking love this movie so much.
Why?
Because a lot of the songs at the beginning, like, set up the rest of the movie. And like, so Hollywood Ending was that big song that they sing in the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you don't get a Hollywood ending. Like, the good guy doesn't always get the girl. John fucking gets bit and dies.
Poor John.
My favorite part.
I know. Oh my God. It's so sad.
I love it.
But that's what's great about the movie is that like the ending it's almost infuriating because Nick survives and John dies and like the dad dies. And Casey's like, I didn't care about it enough to be infuriated.
When you put it like that.
Well, no, but those are the kinds of movies that I like anyway.
And when you put it like that, it makes me like, okay. Because I did have a little bit by the end of the movie, spoiler alert. I was like, oh, this is sad. Like, Anna lost everyone in her life. And there's no like.
Except for that weird girl.
Yeah, but like she's on her own journey.
Yeah,
she's doing her own thing. She's kind of just like Anna in a sense. Like she wants to run away somewhere, just like Anna. So their paths will not cross post credits. Right. Nick is gonna die. He's gonna end up, you know, fighting off a zombie horde and losing eventually. So yeah, I was like, oh, bummer. Mm-hmm. But then when you put it like that, when you say like they did set it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Touché movie. Touché.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he's such like a, you know, it's like real fucking life.
Yeah.
He's like a tool.
Right prick, as they would say.
It's a prick. He's a wet prick.
A right prick.
A right
prick. They always say right.
he's a right
prick. You know, like
prick.
A lot of times, like that is like, you know, that you've heard that a million times in, you know, throughout your life that like nice guys finish last, right? It's like the people who like are the fucking assholes and take what they want, they like get farther ahead in life or, you know, not all the time, but
yeah.
That's
I guess what stood out to me in that, and this is where I'm entering into like criticism territory, which I don't like to do. Because again, like you're opening things up to me that I'm like, oh, I get it. Now I appreciate mm-hmm. that. So notwithstanding everything we just said, I guess I couldn't help myself but constantly compare this with Shaun of the Dead just because
it's okay.
a zombie comic. I couldn't help it. And there were even like some moments mm-hmm. that were like when Anna discovers the zombies, like there were like these similar cues and moments.
Sure. Yeah.
And I guess I couldn't help myself with like, for example, we've all seen Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So spoiler alert for Shaun of the Dead, but like when his mom dies and she gets turned into a zombie and he has to kill her, that is such mm-hmm. a turning point for Shaun tonally, but also like just character wise. And you have so much setup that makes that payoff so devastating that I felt I had a little more trouble with John's death, trying to like really wrap my head around like why that was so necessary and important and like integral to Anna's journey. But then when you kind of frame it as it being more being like subversive story-wise and narratively, I can appreciate it. So,
mm-hmm.
Zach, you are on your first step of turning me into more of a fan of this movie.
Ah, more of a fan. I like that.
More of a fan. So keep it coming.
But yeah, John is such
Zach's literally rolling his sleeves up. I don't know if you do that subconsciously.
Get like, ready.
No, John is such a, I mean, he's just a likable character, but there are things when I watched it last night that like I've seen it probably 4 or 5 times, and there's things that I'm still like picking up on. So there's the song about like when she wakes up late for school and she goes out and they're singing on their way to school and like the zombie chaos is all happening behind them and she doesn't see it because she's just in her own world singing. When John's part of that song starts, he's like tying his shoes and he's like getting ready to like run to school. And I just like put it together that the scene before that, when they're laying in the snow making snow angels, he's like, I'll come visit you and we'll hike across the outback because she wants to go to Australia. And she's like, it's pretty far. And he's like, well, I'll start running to school and get in shape. And then the next morning he's putting on his shoes. And like, I never made that connection. Aww. And I was like, he's just like so sincere that like, he just like thinks this is going to happen. And
yeah. Did you notice that he gets a cramp in his leg and then later he's eating a banana?
Potassium.
That's why you get cramps, because you don't have the potassium.
So he was eating the banana to
help him in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was.
That you mentioned that, like,
he died.
I love that visual though, when he's like, they're sitting on the swing set and he's like, maybe it's better across town. And then like, they cut to them standing in front of that burning tree, like in front of a church.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe if he did survive, it would have just been one more, you know, roadblock on Anna's journey. So maybe he had to die for that, you know?
And then in the very first song, there is a line about like the song Breakaway, where they're like saying they want to get out of town and everything about like, pretty soon, like no matter what, like you have to say goodbye to people. And then she has to say goodbye to everybody.
What was the thing with her mom? How did her mom, did she get a chance to say goodbye to her mom? Or was it
something? I can't remember. Don't know. I don't know if they ever say.
Okay.
She's just,
because that would have been a nice little, like you said, like it's a movie about her having to say goodbye and like letting go.
Right. I love in movies that have this kind of tone where it's like horror, but it's lighthearted in some spots and it's kind of funny. I guess Shaun of the Dead is a perfect example. The fake outs, like the like the girl with asthma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, oh, there's zombies and then you hear the breathing and she turns around and there's a girl with an inhaler.
They do that a couple other times. There was one scene when Anna's walking down the hall and there's these two guys sitting next to each other. And one of them is like eating meat, but it's like so gross. Yeah. He's like ripping it off the bone. And the kid next to him is like tapping on the wall like a zombie would be, like scratching at a window or something.
Yeah.
That was cute. But yeah, that's, you know, it's funny you say that. This movie takes its time getting to the actual zombies. Like, it's not until 30 minutes and 29 or 30 minutes in that she breaks into that song and she still doesn't meet the monster.
Like, yeah.
The monster
until that snowman.
Basically. Yeah. But I thought that was a clever way to do it because it sort of ties into the, Mr. Savage's whole like motivation for being evil by the end is like no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
And like, it's just also clever that she's not paying attention because not only does she have her earphone, you know, her headphones in, but she's, it's a musical. So she's singing. So she's like, has a tunnel vision perspective right now. And she's kind of like in a disassociated kind of POV anyways, because of that. So that was a cool way to do that.
Yeah.
So are we at Anna and John meeting the monster?
Where they meet the snowman?
Yeah. We are, the snowman. Yeah. And, you know, you had brought it up earlier about Shaun of the Dead and how it's kind of very similar to when they meet the monster. And I never picked up on that, but you're absolutely right. It's very...
Which is not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I let out one single laugh during this movie, and it was when she hit the snowman's head off.
And he starts skin Johnson.
That was a great gag with the head. I almost wish they like carried the head around with them or something. Like they utilized it. But.
And I loved all the references to real celebrities. Like
Justin Bieber
being a zombie and Tay Tay.
Tay-Tay's fine.
That's funny.
And when he
Tay-Tay's
says,
not a zombie, Tay-Tay's fine.
He says to Steph, he's like, hey, shag, marry, kill. Miley, Rihanna, and Beyonce. She's like, I don't want to play. He's like, just play. she goes, okay, marry Beyonce. And he's like, why are you killing Rihanna? She's like, I didn't say that. He's like, come on.
Oh, what about you guys?
Who would be my shag, marry,
fuck,
kill?
Marry, kill?
Of those three?
Beyonce, Rihanna, and Miley, yeah.
No offense. I would kill Miley. I guess I would marry Beyonce and I would shag Rihanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all in agreement. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, just Miley, checking. No offense.
She's fine, but you have to kill one of them.
Yeah. You got to do it.
You know? Yeah.
Casey, to your point about the first two songs being really good and then you kind of like didn't care for the rest. I do that after Human Voice when they're talking about when they're in the bowling alley and they're all kind of just like sad and talking about connecting with people.
Yeah.
That's where that's like my, not my cutoff because Soldier at War is pretty good when he's like.
See, I thought Soldier at War could have been so much cooler though.
Mm, okay.
You know, like I had more, when that song started, I just had more hope for it. It was a little too tame for me, I think.
Okay. Okay.
As far as a musical goes, you're a soldier at war and you're in a musical. You're supposed to be like way over the top.
Yeah. Nick and his daddy issues.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of issues.
He had to kill his dad. Yeah.
It's funny, Zach, you really turned me though. Like I appreciate it now because I thought by the end we were supposed to like Nick. But it's we're still not supposed to.
Yeah. It's just
like there can be some empathy.
Guys like him are usually successful, is basically.
Yeah, it's like, and he is.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You know what this reminded me of by the end? I had just watched the most recent season of Survivor, and it was good. And I enjoyed it. But the thing with Survivor is the whole like way the show is built. Is characters, you want to vote off the best person who might win.
Yeah, because you don't want competition. Yeah.
But by design, it creates kind of a bad narrative because you're left with your least favorite characters, or at least like the middle of the road ones. You know, like maybe the least favorite ones are voted off, but then so are the best ones. So by the end of this movie, that's how I felt. I was like, I don't, I hate Nick. I don't hate Anna, and I don't hate the other one, but remember, I don't remember her name. So that sizzled.
Steph.
So we're
Steph.
Okay. We're left with these three characters. Like, of course, it's the hero, and then these two other side characters. And it felt like this last season of Survivor, where I was like, oh, okay. Oh. I don't hate it. I'm still going to watch it. I'm entertained. But I would have loved to see Jesse, Noelle, and like some other and Cody
would have been a
great trio. I want to watch that finale, but you don't. You get Cassidy and Gabler and Owen.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
spoiler alert, Survivor fans.
Sorry, but that's how I feel.
You're not up to date.
Not mad about it, but oh, if only. But I get why they did it.
I truly am, though, like Danny said earlier, I truly am glad that there is one musical that you like, even if it is this
Me
one.
Too.
Yeah.
I really like La La Land. Is that a musical?
Yeah, La La Land was good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is La La Land a musical? I don't know. They're just dancing and singing on top of cars during rush hour in LA. Yes, it's a musical.
Back. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I do like La La Land a lot.
That movie makes me weep.
Mm-hmm. You know what movie makes me weep?
What is it? What movie makes you weep?
Anna and the Green Apocalypse.
Mile. Oh.
Anna and the Apocalypse. Yeah,
trying to guess.
When John gets bit, when she has to say goodbye to her dad. When Chris and Lisa get bit. Mm.
Yeah, that's cute. They hold hands until they don't remember each other.
Was almost certain that when Steph looks at them, when they were hugging, that they were both going to turn and like look at her as zombies.
Mm. Well, like they're like there and like they both are bit and they know what's going to happen. And
so sad.
Steph's like on the other side and Chris like kind of like waves goodbye as he's just like holding
sad.
Lisa. Oh, my God.
Okay. I have a question about zombies.
It's wonderful.
I feel like there's a little bit of like a popularity contest when it comes to zombies, because if I was a human in the zombie apocalypse, one of three things. One, I survive. Or if I'm attacked by a zombie, I'm either going to be eaten or turned into a zombie.
Yes.
What is like the rationale from a zombie's perspective of like who they eat versus who they transform?
Mm.
I guess it just depends if they're how hungry they are.
That's fair.
You know, the ones that bit John, they were really hungry, so they ate him.
That's fair. I would just feel so insecure if they started eating me.
I'd be like, I'm not good enough to be a zombie.
Yeah, I'd be like, I thought this was going to be something.
Okay. But okay, so John gets like swarmed by the zombies, right? And you assume he's eaten. Then at the very end, they show him as a zombie, like sitting up against the wall, and he's like twitching, and his sweater turns on. The lights turn on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So that's a good point, because like they did like fully go to town on him. And then all of a sudden he's like a turned zombie, but he's like not able to walk or whatever because they, I don't know.
I wonder if like zombies know if a person is decent or not. Like, we're still going to take a bite out of you, but we want to initiate you.
In the case of Chris and Lisa, they got bit, were attacked. And then in all of that, the zombies got distracted by the TV. So they stopped.
But then Mr. Savage gets kind of like
his insides torn out.
What's his face? Like Rhodes in Day of the Dead, or David and Shaun of the Dead. They both get the same kind of where they're sort of the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
They get disemboweled. They get ripped apart.
Yeah.
Almost as though the zombies know, like, we don't like you.
So yeah.
We're gonna, like, dispose of you. Right. We don't need you even as a zombie. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure at the end of the day, it's just someone's writing the movie and being like, zombies eat him, zombies bite him.
Yeah.
Zombies eat him, and it's just interchangeable. But
it's a very good, very good question, though.
I would just off myself.
Mm.
Just throwing that out there.
I would hide in a tower.
You would hide in a tower?
Rapunzel.
Yeah. It would be so dramatic.
Yeah. I was picturing you sitting in the window. Yes, that's exactly what I was picturing.
I can't believe it. Zombies. Again?
Wait, you would hide in a tower as a survivor and just wait? Or you would, if you got bit, you would hide in a tower?
Oh, no. If I was still human, I'd hide away in a tower.
Gotcha.
I'd be like looking out the window, all dramatic. I'd be like, Romeo, Romeo. And a zombie would come. Like, stop. Get out. I'm doing a thing.
Danny, just a second ago, you mentioned like people writing zombie movies. There were two writers on this movie. Mm-hmm. One of them was named Ryan McHenry, and he wrote and directed the short film zombie musical that this was based on. And then he died in 2015, and this movie was released in 2017. He was only 27 years old.
Yeah, they do in memory of him. I think he lost a battle against cancer, sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad.
Very sad, yeah. His zombie musical, the short, is on the Blu-ray that I just ordered from the UK. Oh. So I'm excited to actually see that and
see
the similarities. But do you guys want to talk about our favorite reveals?
I do. I bloody do.
Mr. Savage is kind of shifts because the first time you see him, he's just like coming down the hallway and he's like being rude to students, right? But at this point, you don't really know that he is a villain. Then
he's power tripping, but not killing.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't rhyme. I thought it was going to rhyme.
Then you kind of get the sense that he's a villain when they finally make it to the school and they come in and he's like eating his Christmas dinner and they're like, what are you fucking doing? But I would say the reveal of him as a villain is really when, in just a few moments past that, they are in the cafeteria with the zombies and they haven't been noticed yet. And then he blows the whistle and he's like, good luck.
Right before his big song.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say his reveal. Is
his reveal. When he says to them, they don't come back. If you kill them before they get eaten, they don't come back. So he killed the people in the cafeteria.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, unless I'm wrong about that, but I swear that's what he said.
Say it again. If you kill them.
If you kill them before they get bitten, they don't come back. So I'm assuming he killed some of the people in there before the zombies got to them.
Oh my God.
It's dark.
Yeah.
That is dark.
Yeah. So I liked that part.
Oh God.
What if they just ended on, that was like the last line of the movie and then it ends. You're like, oh, goodness.
Ooh, I love that.
It's not a Hollywood ending. I have Nick when you, he puts the marker across John's face in the locker room.
Yeah.
The first time Anna is introduced to a zombie, but she doesn't notice it, is when she's leaving school and she bumps into the zombie and she's sorry, but she keeps walking.
That's right. That was the first zombie that we see.
That's the first, exactly. Yeah. That's the first time we see a zombie as the audience.
That's a good one.
The zombie chaos when she's getting out of, she's going to school and she's singing and all that stuff. That's a big reveal. The snowman, Mrs. Hinsman, the custodian,
the bowling alley
in the bowling alley when she's in the bathroom. That I don't know if Chris and Steph had seen a zombie before when they were like out filming the night before, or if that was the first reveal to Steph.
Oh yeah.
In the bathroom. I don't know. And then Santa, you get Santa at the very end.
Iconic.
A little,
that's in the Christmas tree shop, right?
No, at the very end when they're driving away and like the banner that says Merry Christmas floats in and goes right across.
But don't
and
we then... see Santa before that?
Yeah, I think isn't there's a random one running around.
That. Like Santa.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other reveals that you wrote down?
My favorite reveal was when Anna breaks into her song and we see like the beginning of like the zombie apocalypse, the whole outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a very clever way, because that was at a point where when she broke out in a song, I literally had a thought where I was like, okay, let's get the movie going. We need to, like, now we've had enough setup. I want to get, but that was like, oh, the movie's going. Okay. We got it. Yeah. The zombies are here. So that was like a nice moment.
Yeah. Which is also kind of Shaun of the Dead E a little bit.
Totally.
Like when he goes to the convenience store.
Noticing. Yeah. Well, what's funny is I noticed Shaun of the Dead, again, beside like beyond the obvious of it being a zombie comedy, when she wakes up, they do these very quick cuts. It's like boom, 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 showing her like kind of getting ready. And then the camera does this like slow push on a bed. And it was literally almost, you could watch it side by side with Shaun of the Dead. And it's when we see him get ready and then they do the slow push on the shower curtain.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's like just like a fun homage. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Right.
But yeah.
Casey?
I like the part where you find out that Mr. Savage, when he killed people.
Yeah. Danny, is also the reveal when she breaks out into song and she's running through the neighborhood. And
it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like if ever there was a time to do that in a musical.
It is good. I did like that part.
That's how you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it's time for a segment that we like to call The Real Monster.
Run, run, run as fast as you can. I'm the gingerbread man.
You're a monster.
I'm not the monster here. You are. You and the rest of that fairy tale trash poisoning my perfect world. Now tell me, where are the others?
Eat me.
My real monster was the Penguin production for that part of the school.
Oh my gosh.
That's a great choice.
Because I just didn't understand it.
That's funny.
The fish song. I love it.
It's funny because all the songs that were in the play were very well written, you know, so it was like clearly written by professional writers.
Yeah. Like not because they were writing kids, a musical in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Like as stupid as it was like, oh, they did a good job.
And then like later you see them eat like the penguins, yes. They got turned into zombies and they're eating,
Each other. Yeah.
My real monster was... There's two technically, but it's people who pee in pools and in this case, people who pee on pools.
Ah,
because that one grandma zombie pees, she urinates on the inflatable pool that they hide under.
Danny, it's really not cool to make fun of people for incontinence. Older folks, they can't help it.
Hey, you can still be a monster and have incontinence. So.
Right, but having incontinence doesn't make you a monster. You're being ageist.
That's how I was raised. I was raised to hate people who pee beyond their control. But not people who pee in tea.
Oh, no, of course.
As a reference to society.
Yeah, it's very, it helps.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah,
if you're going to flavor something, sure, that's fine. But if you're just going to make a mess
I think that... If you eat a bunch of sugar smacks and then you want to pee in some tea, you can make sweet tea, you know?
Yeah, sugary.
They're coming to get you. Yeah. You hear the sirens out there?
They're like, Daniel, take it down.
My real monster is advent calendars.
I have a cheese advent calendar this year. I've been eating a different kind of cheese every day.
My point exactly. My point
They're so
exactly.
God. My aunt had one growing up and I always wanted one because they had chocolates in each one.
Yeah, I've never had one either until this year. My friend Jess, she bought me a cheese advent calendar. So there's a different kind of cheese every day. It's very cute.
But Zach, why don't you like them?
It's just, it's like I was like, there was, we were in Target the other day and I was like, oh, Samuel might like this Harry Potter advent calendar. And it was stuffed with socks.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah, there's a
Why
lot of socks.
25 socks?
Yeah. And I don't know if it was like That's a pair, insane. Each one, or if like each one had one sock. I don't know. Then there'd
a
be
strand.
An oddball.
You have to sew it. Into
well,
a
yeah,
sock
the one at the end is for Dobby, of course.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Good call.
But that's too many socks for Dobby.
No, he gets the one at the end. The other 24 get divided up into 12 pairs.
Okay.
For the child that it's for. Then Dobby gets the one.
I get it.
Yeah, I just...
Have you ever had Mexican cheddar cheese? Because I didn't until a few days ago. And it was fantastic.
I'm not a big fan of cheese. Despite my love of Cheez-Its, ironically.
Well.
Can we talk... No, the real monster is the fact that Cheez-Its are called Cheez-It.
Like Zit?
Cheez-It? Look at the box. It's called a Cheez-It. That's like insane.
Like a singular Cheez-It.
Yeah. So I feel stupid if I'm like, these are, I like Cheez-Its. It's like, you mean Cheez-It? No one's ever going to say that. But like in my head, I'm like, I know I'm saying it wrong.
Okay. Well, do you guys have anything else to add about Anna and the Apocalypse, your new favorite Christmas horror musical?
Musical? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true because it's the only one I've.
Hey, well, then you got it. It's got to be your favorite. So,
yeah.
I know Muppet Christmas Carol has its moments.
Oh, I haven't watched that in a long time. I don't have anything to add about Anna and the Apocalypse. Do you, Danny?
Nothing other than it was a very cute little Christmas movie. Sadder than I expected and better after Zach sort of course corrected me a little bit.
Hey, guys, where can our listeners find you on social media?
Well, I'm on Instagram at WolfMotherCasey.
I need some motivation for this. Why am I telling people?
You're like Jesus. You're like Jesus, and you're talking to your disciples, and they want to know, how do we find you?
Listen, my people, follow me. To do so...
You'd be a terrible cult leader.
Download Twitter and Instagram. I know. What is download? We don't have phones. What are phones? They don't exist yet. But were they to,
is it because we're
you
in
would
Jerusalem?
Follow me on these handles. One handle. What is a handle? We'll get to that someday. But it's my name, Danny.
Jesus Christ.
Two M's, like the candy. What are M&M's? You'll find out someday.
Do they melt?
In your butt. Not in your hand. Wait, Zach, where can we find you?
Oh, you can find me on all the social media platforms at Zach Winsick. Okay, well, I guess that's all the time we have for Anna and the Apocalypse. Thank you guys for indulging me and watching this film. Listeners, let us know what you think of the movie, because we got to pick sides here. So
no, it's okay.
Flood us with good things about Anna and the Apocalypse. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at How I Met Your Monster and on Twitter at I Met Your Monster. We're also on TikTok. Find us on TikTok.
Oh,
we, yeah, the tiki-talky.
Do fun little things over there. Or just How I Met Your Monster.
Yeah.
Next week, Casey, you are introducing us to a monster. What is that monster?
I'm not going to tell you.
What is the film that the monster lives in?
The film that this monster lives in is Crimson Peak.
Ooh.
Ooh, oh, yes. I'm surprised.
So crimson-y.
Yes. Guillermo del Toro.
My interest.
Yes.
He's having a good year. Guillermo.
Been around the block.
I mean, I think he's had a pretty good career in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just talking like he's got his Cabinet of Curiosities and then Pinocchio.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. I haven't watched Pinocchio yet. But yeah. I love Crimson Peak. I've watched it a number of times. I'm pretty excited.
Good. I have yet to see it. Yeah. I've never watched it, so I'm excited.
Crimson Peak is going to set off our next three movies that are all going to be ghost stories.
Okay.
Into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's exciting because I love a good ghost story.
Me too.
So me too. Stay tuned. Make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be there. Just hit that follow button. Smash that follow button. Smash that like button and hit the follow.
Yeah, bro. Smash that like button, bro.
Smash that like button, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Yo, go beat some monsters, bro. Just smash that bell
icon. Before we go any further, why don't you smash that? The link is in the description. All right, everybody. Go meet some monsters.
And speaking of staying tuned, we should end on a tune.
Ah, yes. The famous
Go meet some monsters. So glad we practiced that song beforehand.